Hello everyone, welcome to Well Talk. My name is Fahad and I'll be your host today. Our beloved Faris is still on vacation. Lucky man. My guest today is the Dubai number one HR and recruitment personality and, let me get this right, top global talent acquisition voice, the one and only Judy Thompson.
Thank you for having me.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Looking at your incredible, amazing career, such a powerhouse.
Thank you.
Who are you? Let us know.
So I have been in Dubai now for 7 years. Come from a management background, started out in banking, which was my dream job from a child. Done the job and realised it wasn't my dream job and moved on. Went into a job that offered me a lot of progression, which is something that is really important to me. And then I got the call about Dubai. Was offered the job on the Friday, moved to Dubai on the Wednesday. So literally 4 days notice, packed my whole life into a tiny little suitcase thinking, let's just come and see what happens. And 7 years later, I'm still here representing one of the leading real estate companies, White & Co Real Estate.
Nice.
And yeah, 7 years, I've never looked back.
Wow, that's incredible. What was the reason behind you relocating to Dubai?
So at the time, as I mentioned, progression is really important to me. And I had started the job I was in when I was 20. So I was really young and I progressed really quickly through the ranks. So started off as basically like a customer service representative on the tills. And then within 6 months, I was promoted to assistant store manager. Within 2 years, I became a store manager. And by the time I got to the 5 year mark, I was a regional manager looking after a series of stores in the north. And then I was reading the book, The Secret, which I'm sure everyone is familiar with. And it was just a little bit of an eye-opener moment of that. Not that I was looking to relocate. I wasn't looking to leave the UK. I wasn't necessarily conscious of what the next steps were going to be. But I just kind of felt like I'm 26. I'm at what appears to be the peak of my career with 40 years left to go. Like, there's no way I can just keep going through the motions for another 40 years. So I started to kind of think about what I wanted to do. And I'm a big believer in like what you put out into the universe will come back to you. So I basically told the universe, like, there's got to be something bigger out there for me. And within the space of about 2 weeks of reading the book, I just got a random phone call on a random Wednesday morning. It was like, we want you to watch this webinar. Had the interview on the Friday, was offered the job. And as I say, within 4 days, it was done and dusted. Had never been to Dubai before. I didn't know anybody living here. So as you can imagine, I was leaving a very comfortable job. Very comfortable lifestyle. I was still living at home with my mum and dad. I loved living with my parents. They were my best friends. So I was in no rush to move out.
Beautiful.
And then, but me being me, I don't do things by halves. So not only did I move out of the home that I'd lived in for 26 years, I moved to the other side of the world with 4 days notice.
Wow. Wow. That's incredible. I want to go back to when you said, I felt this is not what I want to do or I wasn't comfortable. And we always hear that beautiful saying, if you love what you do, you will never work a day in your life.
Yeah.
Right. Are you doing what you love right now?
100%. I feel like I was made for this.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Can I hear more about this?
Yeah, of course. So I actually fell into recruitment. It wasn't something that I'd ever done before. And I was in the real estate industry. So I'd seen firsthand, you know, how fruitful the industry can be. But I'd also experienced the challenges of the industries and what you have to push through to get to the rewards. And at the time, I was approached by the company I was working for. They were like, we've got an opening in the recruitment team. I was in sales at that time. And they were like, we think you've got like quite a good presence on social media. You know, you're good with the agents. You're very good at interacting with people. And we could see this being something that might be really well suited to your work and style. So I moved over into recruitment back in 2021. And from a sales background my whole life. And yeah, from literally the very first day, it was just kind of like, wow, like this opportunity was meant to find me because now I just couldn't imagine doing anything else. I've never had a job where I look forward to going to work every single day.
Beautiful.
And that wasn't even just at White & Co. Like I love White & Co. and I've got so many reasons as to why I choose to represent White & Co. But from the very first day that I got into recruitment, you just can't explain the sense of fulfillment that it brings to me. And when I talk to people about it, they constantly say to me, I've never met anyone that loves their job as much as you do. Because I'm so passionate about it. But I get to see firsthand people that have trusted me to move their lives to the other side of the world. I get to watch them progress from their first deal to their personal best, progressing from leasing to sales, doing amazing things, earning life-changing money. And not even just that, like the growth of them as people, like the confidence, the glow up, you know, when you see them coming in and they're, you know, brand new to the industry and you can see it's taking the toll on them because it's stressful. And then you see, you know, they find their rhythm, they come in, they look sharp, they sound sharp, they're confident, they've got so much knowledge that it's like, wow, like how could you not love doing that?
Absolutely, absolutely. You know what? I think I got my answer just with your body language, because literally you started glowing when you were answering my question. But anyway, what you said opened for me another question. With such a very high-paced industry and competitive industry, how do you take care of your own well-being and your staff well-being?
I am probably not the greatest of looking after myself, is the honest answer. I've got a lot better at it recently in terms of just managing my workload a little bit better. I am someone, because I love my job so much, I am someone that will take on a lot and I will squeeze as much as I can into my day and I go into every day trying to get the absolute most out of it. And sometimes I forget to take my own break or look away from the screen or do all of the things that I say to the staff, make sure you do. I forget to do myself. But when it comes to the agents and the people that choose to, you know, join the team at White & Co., looking after them for me is paramount, because I build such a relationship with these agents from the very first day. Like obviously I'm the first point of contact that they generally have with White & Co. It's myself and Daisy and the recruitment team. So we're the first people that they speak to. We're the one that gives them all of the information, helps them to make an informed decision about getting into the real estate industry, if White & Co. is going to be the best fit for them. And then we then spend months in constant contact with those people. So we get to know a lot about them. We get to know about their family backgrounds. We get to know about their goals and aspirations, their personality traits and characteristics, what they value as individuals. So then when they come on board, it's like they've put so much trust in us and they've chose to come to White & Co. because of the relationship that we've built with them. I need to know that when they do come on board, they're going to be well looked after. But the whole reason that I joined White & Co., so I joined White & Co. back in May of last year. So I've been with them for just over a year. They're 3.5 years into the industry, so still a relatively young company. But one of the biggest reasons that I chose White & Co. was because I knew how well the employees were looked after and the agents were really valued. Their hard work was recognised. And there's so many different things that we do to, you know, do our best to look after the agents. And that's mental well-being, physical well-being, financial well-being. Like there's so many different pillars of things that we do to try and, you know, make it an even more amazing place to work than it already is.
Amazing. Actually, my next question was, I really wanted to ask you why White & Co. But since you already started to answer that question, maybe take us through actually why White & Co.
So being in the industry, I'm one of those, I'm very nosy. I like to know what's happening in all of the companies and I like to have my finger really on the pulse. And, you know, I want to know what people are doing. I want to know what packages they're offering, what they might be doing different to other companies. And White & Co. really stood out as such a market leader in terms of commission structure, obviously making sure that people have the opportunity to increase the commission on every deal that they do based on their performance. Progression opportunities, as I mentioned earlier, really important to me. And that was one thing that really stood out about White & Co., that there was so much room for progression. Incentive programs, you know, employees feeling valued and appreciated for the hard work that they're putting in. And this isn't just the agents, this is every single person across the company, and White & Co. is really well looked after. And those were the main things initially. Of course, I'd seen on social media, but then I also went and met Callum and we had a conversation. And within the first 5 minutes of sitting down with Callum, I was like, this is a place that I need to be, just because everything that they offered really aligns with what is important to me. And that is employee well-being. And that stems from all of those things. Being able to increase the commission, having the progression opportunities, being rewarded for their hard work, being looked after, having an amazing company culture, and going into an environment every day that brings the best out in people. That aligns with me and what I value.
That's great. That's incredible. So I would say in a different way that White & Co. is helping you to practice what you preach.
100%.
That's beautiful. Okay, I have another question for you. What keeps you motivated to be that great leader, that inspiring leader that you are?
It changes every day, to be honest.
Wow.
What motivates me, my motivations will fluctuate, and one day I'll be motivated by one thing and the next day it'll be a totally different thing. But a lot of what motivates me in terms of being a great leader in HR is the trust that people have put in me and me having that kind of, that reputation with the people that are, you know, moving their lives to the other side of the world. I want to make sure that everything I tell them in that initial call, that when they actually get in through the doors of White & Co., everything that I've told them in that first call and everything that we've spoken about since is what they walk into. So that when they look at me, it's like, she hasn't sold me a dream. She's given me a very realistic insight into what to expect. And it's exactly what I thought it was going to be. And I'm not, you know, nobody feels like they've been misled. Nobody feels that they've been sold a dream. Like, I don't need to sell a dream because what the company actually does is phenomenal. So I can be very honest and very transparent. And even just today on LinkedIn, my LinkedIn post was, if you're wanting to make this move and get into Dubai real estate, you need to be prepared that you're going to have to downgrade your lifestyle temporarily. So that lovely home that you've built, that you've decorated the way you want it, you're going to be in a service studio. That lovely 24-plate Mercedes that's sitting up your path, you're going to be in a Nissan Sunny or a Geely. And putting out there the information that maybe other recruiters don't want people to see, because it may deter people from wanting to get into the industry. But ultimately, I want to build a team of hardworking, ambitious, positive people that just actually want a good opportunity to change their lives.
That's actually generate another question. I really need to get rid of this paper because everything you're saying is so inspiring. So they say the human legacy is not what they leave behind them in terms of money and assets.
Yeah.
It's what they actually create and the impact they create in the life of others.
Yeah.
Is that what keeps you motivated? Because everything you say so far is about others. Is that what keeps you motivated?
Yeah, I've never thought of it in that way before. I feel like I do like it when people come and they're like, I've had this amazing day, like I've done my first deal, or, you know, they come to me straight away with good news and bad news. Like you almost become a little bit of a confidant for the people that are, you know, joining the company because of that relationship that you build. So I do enjoy being part of their journey. And yeah, maybe a little bit more so than my own journey. I don't really focus too much on what I'm doing. I do get a lot of my motivation, a lot of my inspiration, and a lot of my fulfillment in life from what people around me are doing.
Beautiful. Jodie, I'm someone who always advocate that if you do something, three elements need to be there with you. Do that job with love, do it with care, and do it with passion. And all what I can notice about you during this podcast, seeing all your videos and your incredible contribution on your LinkedIn, and it's so inspiring, by the way.
Thank you. There is
passion everywhere.
Yeah.
What's the source of your passion?
It's an interesting question because these are things that I've never really pushed myself to actually think about, but I think maybe...
So this is a first?
Yeah, this is the first time I've ever really sat and
Great.
Thought about
I'm
this.
I'm going to get a golden medal for that then.
I think maybe because personally, I didn't ever think that I myself would have the opportunities that I've had. So I think the fact that I've been given an opportunity and a platform to give other people that were like me that maybe didn't ever think they would have the same opportunities a chance to attempt change in their lives and go into an industry that's gonna enable them to have a lot more freedom in later life. I think that is what drives my passion. I wanna give people the opportunity to be able to do amazing things because someone at one point in time took a chance on me. So I think that maybe is what drives me forward.
Again, one more question from your answer. You said an industry that will enable people. How does this industry enable people to become a better version of themselves?
So I think within the industry, there's so many different elements that brings the best in people out. And I think obviously the majority of people that are getting into Dubai real estate are quite financially driven because it's a very financially rewarding industry when you do it right. And when you choose a good company and when you have the right platform, the right training, the right support. So the financial rewards is obviously a big thing because you are essentially running a business within a business and what you put into that business is what you see back out of it. It is intense, it is tough, but the end result is phenomenal. And that end result then is what is kind of spurring you on to have a lot more freedom in later life. And I believe that anybody who says that they are money motivated are actually freedom motivated, because the money gives you the freedom to make the choices to drive the car that you want to drive, eat at the restaurants you want to eat at, and further down the line, be able to choose who you work with, when you work with, how often you work, and all of these different like levels of freedom that the money brings. But you have to do the work now to get the money to get the freedom later. And I think because it's a competitive industry as well, it brings out a lot of confidence in people, and it gives people skills that they maybe didn't know that they had within themselves. And it's interesting because even Saturday morning, I am part of a run club, and I had two agents, both of which I had hired. One went through their training in June, one went through their training in July. So both really, really new. But the one that had done his training in June was giving advice to the one that had just done his training in July. And the level of knowledge, this is someone that had no previous real estate experience whatsoever. The level of knowledge that he was able to share with somebody else within just 6 weeks in the industry, I was like, wow, that's amazing. And he didn't know any of those things prior. And it's just a whole wealth of knowledge, so many different skills that even if you don't stay in real estate forever, you've built so many skills that will stay with you for life. And one thing that I really like about Callum is he's very vocal about, this is a financial vehicle. I don't want you to necessarily work for me forever. If you want to, fantastic.
Beautiful.
But I don't necessarily want you to feel like you have to. I want you to come in, work hard now, and make the money to have the option to make the choices further down the line. So that's something that I think is very across the board with all of us. It's about the freedom.
Nice. I love that. Running club.
Yes.
What about that?
So it's interesting because I post a lot about running, but I actually only started running in February this year. Prior to that, I was not a runner. I was not a gym person. I was very hit and miss. I'd do like the odd yoga or Pilates. Like there was never any kind of structure with my routine. And the whole reason the running thing came about, and I don't even know if I should say this on camera, but it was the Birch to Birch half marathon in January. Mm-hmm. My boyfriend and my friends were participating in the half marathon. I went down to support, and at the end, everybody was getting their medals and getting photos taken in front of the Birch Khalifa. And I was like, that would be an amazing LinkedIn post. I need to do that. So I was inspired by actually the potential to create LinkedIn content in 12 months' time. But yeah, then I decided to, I'm quite impulsive, so I kind of got it into my head. I went straight to the Outlet Village, bought a pair of trainers, and went and ran my first ever 5K. So, didn't enjoy it. It's a mental challenge running.
Absolutely.
So the first few like were tough, but then I got the bug, and then it was like, okay, how far can I go? How fast can I go? So then within 4 weeks, I participated in the 10K leg of the Ras Al Khaimah half marathon. Race days are unbelievable for anyone who's never participated in one. It's honestly one of the best things I've ever done. Like just the buzz in the crowd and the sense of achievement when you cross the finish line, you get the medal. It's unbelievable. So then I was due to start half marathon training on Monday the 22nd of June, but instead I decided to wake up on Sunday the 21st of June prior to the training and see if I could run a half marathon. So anybody who knows Dubai, June is very hot. I ran 11.2 kilometers outdoors in 39 degrees, which was grueling. Had to finish the rest of it on the treadmill, which I don't enjoy treadmill running at all. I'm very much an outdoor runner. But I managed to get it done. It took me a while, but it was my first ever half marathon. I managed to get it done. So then I decided I'm going to do another half marathon as part of a race day, but then I'm also going to do a full marathon in December. So within less than a year of starting my running journey, going to participate in the Abu Dhabi Marathon.
Oh, wow. Incredible.
I've put it out there now, so I've got to do it.
So the question is, you started this to help you create your personal brand. And then it became a hobby.
Yeah.
Beautiful. How is this hobby helping you on your day-to-day life?
Discipline. I've become so much more disciplined in every other aspect of my life. And it goes back to what I was saying earlier when I was talking about managing my workload. It made me sit down and think, right, okay, how can I make my day productive and utilize my time and make a structure where I can give the best of myself every day. So discipline-wise, in terms of like, I'm very structured in the time I go to bed, the time I wake up. Alcohol intake, I didn't drink for the first 100 days of the year. I'm currently doing dry August. Alcohol intake reduced significantly, which is obviously really good for things like recovery, kind of mental health, mental clarity. So it kind of just spans across everything, being more conscious of, you know, how I'm fueling my body, and then also wanting to be able to run faster for longer, then incorporating other types of training into the weekly schedule, which again is making me stronger and healthier. But I would say the biggest factor that it's affected is my overall discipline.
The word discipline itself has a lot of meaning, right? But it's the most important thing in life, because discipline means letting go with things that you want right now for a better thing in the future. And when we talk about the future, it means that the future you is counting on the current you. What is current Jodie doing to make future Jodie even more prouder?
So work-wise, it does come a lot around the reputation that I'm building in the industry, both here and overseas. Investing a lot into becoming a trusted brand where people know they're going to come to me and they're going to get the insights, the good, the bad, the ugly. They're going to be in a position to make an informed decision of if this is going to be the right thing for them. So there's not a massive amount to sacrifice with that. It is just obviously planning the content, taking inspiration from conversations, showcasing things that I'm doing to benefit agents in the future. So work-wise, that's one of the big things, and obviously just making sure that people are coming into this with realistic expectations. When it comes to sacrificing things, obviously there's everything. Like some days you go home from work and you just want to eat pizza, but eating pizza tonight is not going to fuel me to run 20 kilometers tomorrow morning. So being conscious of what is on my plate, reducing the alcohol intake, you know, saying no to the brunches, saying no to the ladies' nights, so that I can wake up at 5 a.m. in the morning, ready to train, ready, you know, no brain fog, ready to go into work and be the best version of myself. And one of the other big things that is happening at the moment is I have been really conscious of financials this year, to create, again, you know, building the empire for my future children as well. So saying no to the instant gratification of spending money, which is something I am very good at having, and spending money and having to hold back and save so that I can invest into property and I can, you know, start building an investment portfolio as well, which again stemmed from being part of White & Co. You know, we have financial wellbeing workshops. A lot of people have not ever had this huge lump sum of money land in their bank account the way you can do in real estate, and they're exposed to this, you know, massive income. You know, those who work really hard for it, they're rewarded for it tenfold. So having the financial wellbeing workshops to talk about how you can then use that money to make more money, how you can invest it wisely, how you can diversify your portfolio, how you can plan for retirement, the insurances that you might need, which obviously then sparked something in my brain to be like, okay, we need to stop going to Dubai Hills Mall and going to Zara every week. And putting some money aside and saving for things, and, you know, getting my first property in Dubai. And so there's a lot of things that I'm working on this year, and I feel like in a very short space of time, the discipline has played a massive part, and the rewards are really coming from it. So that then spurs you on to want to be even more disciplined, because the more disciplined you are now, the bigger the rewards will be later.
Beautiful. And what would you say for the people that would say, Jodie, we need you with us, but you are running away always from us? So would you tell them that I'm on a mission, come and join me? Or would you tell them like, leave me alone, or what? Because I believe that saying no helps you avoid burnout.
Yeah.
In so many cases, right? And I want to speak with you about burnout right now. So how saying no helped you?
I think you have to prioritize. There is times where your friends are going to need you and you're going to have to put your things to one side to be there for that person. So I get that, and you do have to prioritize. But when it comes to saying no to avoid burnout, there's so many things happening with me at the moment. You know, I work 7 days a week. Like, I'm constantly working, and that's not because I have to. That's not because anybody is telling me I have to. I'm not micromanaged. I've got nobody breathing down my neck. It's because I want to, because I love what I do, and I don't feel like I'm working when I am working. So that's fine. But then you've got, you know, the additional training, the running, the run clubs, the going home from work every day and cooking meals from scratch. Zooming family back home, having those conversations, fitting them into your busy schedule. Just purchased a property. I'm getting another dog on Friday to add to the collection of animals that I've got at home. So there's a lot happening in my world right now. And I've had to learn how to prioritize what's happening and what I need to say no to right now to help myself have the time to rest and recover and be able to be the best version of myself. And what I maybe need to say yes to grow and develop as a person or to be there for other people that are also growing and developing as people. So it's definitely a case of prioritizing what is important, what matters most to you, but also listening to your body, because I am full steam ahead a lot of the time and I'm at the moment recovering from bronchitis, and I was still running, I still went to work every day, I traveled, and eventually on Saturday it was kind of like, okay, now we're taking a rest, whether you like it or not, it's happening,
your body's telling you.
Yeah, exactly. So you've got to listen to the signs as well, and you've got to be prepared that, you know, you have to look after number one always. But I think as well, I do find some people use that as an excuse to not do things that they know they should be doing.
That's what I wanted to
say. But they don't want to.
That's what I want to say. So it's amazing how you speak about that, because for me, if you skipped something that makes you better every single day, for the first day, that's fine, because you skipped that habit for a day. But if you skipped it for the second day, then you are developing a new habit, right? Which is skipping what keeps you always in line. I have a different question right now, because when you were talking and you said people come to Dubai for reasons.
Yeah.
And one of your many, did I say that enough, guys? Many? Three times. One of your incredible talents is actually relocations. Mm-hmm. Why so many people are relocating to Dubai, and how would you help these people to relocate?
I think it's such an interesting topic, because people's motivations for moving to Dubai have changed. We've seen a definite shift in the narrative more recently. I think previously a lot of people were coming to Dubai because there was so much opportunity here, there was a lot of money to be made, there was no taxes, and they were the main driving forces. I now feel that because the economy here is thriving so much and the government is so proactive, residents are so well looked after, people are now moving here because, you know, you're looking at the cost of living in some economies in the world is going up astronomically, and the income isn't increasing in line with that. A lot of places it's really difficult to get on the property ladder for the first time. There's not as much opportunity career-wise, whether that's getting into a new career or being able to progress in the one that you're already in. And people are seeing people come to Dubai and they're getting these amazing careers. They're progressing, they're doing phenomenally well. They're buying properties, they're investing. They've got an overall better quality of life. But what I've also noticed recently is a lot of families are wanting to come to Dubai. When I first came to Dubai, it was known that, you know, it was usually young, single, ambitious people would come to Dubai. Now people are looking at low crime rates, safety, security, enhanced education and healthcare facilities that they maybe don't have where they're living now. So I definitely feel there's a multitude of factors that bring people here, and I think they all go into one big melting pot. But I think we've definitely seen a shift in the narrative in terms of that we're reaching a much wider target audience now of people that are wanting to come and live here. And I think the reasons that people are coming here are shifting more towards the safety, the security, the cleanliness.
Beautiful.
And the opportunities, of course, that go with that, and the lifestyle that you get to live, and the weather, you know, all of the things that you see people talking about all the time.
Being someone who was born and raised in Gulf, it's thrilling to hear you talking about this, because this is, I think, some of the aspects that people really don't talk about.
Yeah.
So it's incredible. And I've noticed that you are a big advocate to actually relocating to Dubai. And from here, I got another question.
Yeah.
What would you advise? Give me some important tips for people who want to relocate and move to Dubai. What would you advise them?
Do as much research as you can, because it's so easy to take a platform now and say whatever you want to say on it to attract people.
True.
So do as much research as you can. And I know this is going to sound quite ironic coming from me, but don't take everything that you see or hear from a recruiter as gospel. make sure you do your research. Make sure you speak to people that are in the companies that you are interested in working with. Make sure you look at their social media presence and that it's a good working environment, and get an understanding from employees that are already there, because things can look so amazing surface level, but beneath the surface, it may not be what it is made out to look like. So speak to people in the companies that you're interested in speaking to, particularly with real estate. Be aware of the logistics. Things like visa processes is something that a lot of people don't really totally understand. They know you need a visa, but they don't know any of the regulations or the laws around visa processes. So make sure that you understand what that visa process is going to look like for you, because everything is tied to your Emirates ID. So without that Emirates ID, you can't go into a fixed term tenancy contract. So if you're relocating with a family, you're going to be in temporary accommodation for those first couple of weeks, which maybe might not be ideal for a family. You may have to look at options like Airbnbs for bigger spaces. You don't get your private healthcare insurance until you've got your Emirates ID. So you're going to need to have travel insurance in the interim period while your visa process is under completion. Now, you know, there's certain aspects of the visa process that you need to be physically present in the country for. We can't expedite that at all. You have to physically be here.
Be in the country.
So we do everything we can at White & Co to make sure that that all runs as smoothly as possible, that you're working legally and above board from day one, and that process and that time frame that it takes to get your Emirates ID is minimal. Because again, as I say, you need it for a fixed term tenancy contract, you need it for your private healthcare insurance, your bank account, converting your driving license, being able to get your reader broker license, you need your Emirates ID for that as well. So there's so many things that tie in with the visa that you need to be aware of. Again, just things like familiarising yourself with the culture. Dubai is home to over 200 different nationalities. It's an amazing place.
Absolutely.
The first ever best friend that I made in Dubai, she's Romanian. She was in real estate. We lived together in an apartment in the marina. I went to her wedding and we became really, really good friends. And I'd never met anyone from Romania before. I've now been on holiday to Romania and experienced their culture. So it is an amazing place, especially for personal development and growth, because you get exposed to so many different ways of living, so many different cultures. But make sure that you take time to familiarize yourself with the overall culture of Dubai before you come here, so that you can be respectful to your surroundings.
With this diverse world, and I'm sure, I mean, how many nationalities do you have in White & Co, for example?
I would say over 20 across the board.
Beautiful. Give us an advice. How can we actually adapt and learn and maybe develop our knowledge through our colleagues?
I think first and foremost, it's very easy as human nature that we like to stick to what we know. So we tend to stick with the people that come from a similar background. So making that effort to go and introduce yourself to other nationalities in the company and spend time with them and see what their working style is like and their personality traits. They may have ways of working that you've never even thought of that you can emulate into your own business, and it takes your business to the next level. So take the time to spend time with your colleagues. Don't just stick to what you know and play it safe. Get out there, mix, mingle. Like at White & Co, we do quarterly incentives for the whole company. So you've got all of the agents, the admins, the IT, the accounts, the HR, everybody in the whole company gets together on one day every quarter so that you can mingle and you can speak to people from different departments that you might not necessarily interact with every single day. And that just creates, again, a much stronger teamwork ethic amongst ourselves as well, because everybody's got a relationship with everyone in the business. So I think, yeah, take time to get to know people that maybe you've never mixed with before, nationalities that you've never had the opportunity to spend time with before, and learn from them.
Lovely, lovely. You walk into an A company and you find head of HR. Mm-hmm. And then you walk to a B company and you find head of recruitment. And you go to C company and it's head of people and culture. Tell us, what is the difference? I'm confused.
So I think we all work very closely together. HR, I think, is more on the regulation side of things, you know, being really well versed with the UAE labor laws and the visa processes and the processes around, you know, resignations and things like that. But I also think HR is so pivotal in the business, because they are the only people in the business really who have the best interests of the company and the best interests of the people in the company at heart. So it's a tough role. I have done HR before. It's not part of my role at the moment, but it's something that I'm familiar with and I work really closely with our HR team. Head of recruitment, we look after, you know, the whole hiring process, the whole relocation process, from the initial conversations with the applicants, making sure that they've got the relevant information, making sure that they're qualified, that they know, you know, what they're getting themselves into, because it is tough, and putting them in a position to make an informed decision about what is going to be happening. In terms of from that first call, right the way through the whole interview process, right the way through the whole relocation process, and then once they're on the ground here in Dubai, right the way through to joining their training and being onboarded into the company. That's our part of the process. But one thing that I try as best I can to do is to maintain that relationship once the agents are in the business. I think a lot of the time recruiters are seen as people as you bring the people in, you put the bums on seats, that's it, your job's done, you move on to the next. Mm-hmm. Whereas I try to maintain a relationship with the agents once they are on board. So having those regular check-ins, how are you getting on, how are things going, going around saying good morning to people.
And okay.
Because I'm in the office with them. And I love the fact that I'm right in the middle of the office and I can see the agents, I can feel the environment, I'm part of the atmosphere, and I can, you know, if an agent looks, you know, maybe not so great this morning, they haven't come in bouncing off the walls like they normally do, I can go over and I can be like, what's going on? Everything okay? Do you want to obviously have a chat? Sometimes they might just be tired, or you never know what
having
is happening
a bad day
in
or
people's personal lives. And I think because myself and Daisy build such strong relationships with the agents, they do feel really comfortable to then speak to us if they do have any queries or concerns. And on the flip side of that, I get to go around and I get to see them doing their first deals and celebrating with their team or doing a personal best. And I love being really heavily involved in the whole journey from the first call right the way through their whole kind of their whole career with us. I want to be part of every step of it. I don't want to just be that person that brings them in and then they never see me again. And then people and culture is an interesting one, because I feel like this is a really new term. It's mm-hmm. not something that I was ever overly familiar with prior.
True. It's just developed a couple of years back and you kind of started to hear about it a lot.
Yeah, exactly. But I think it's a great idea. I don't think you can ever have any such thing as too much support in a business. I think having more people for people to go to, or having people with different roles. And I think changing titles of roles is also important, because over time, the definition of a job title can change. And sometimes HR can have a negative connotation and they think, you know, they're just here to protect the business. They're not interested in us, because old HR, it was very regulated and it was just, you know, the business is at the center of it. Whereas now HR is much more people focused than it ever was before, but that same connotation still stays. So now if HR becomes people and culture management, it's like, oh, this is, you know, people and culture, they care about us, they care about the culture we work in. And it's, I do feel like job titles are also changing, but I feel like a lot of the time it all goes hand in hand, whether it's HR, recruitment, people in culture. It's the people that are bringing people into the business and wanting the best for them, working with the departments that oversee that whole process.
Listening to your stories, I could easily say that you are three in one. Now, what's some advices that other HR leaders, other recruiters, other head of people and culture, other, you know, whoever is actually, because we always forget that, or some people tend to forget that your employees is your biggest asset.
100%.
Give us some advices. Inspire us how to take care of our staff.
Listen to your people. Give them the opportunity to give feedback. Create a safe space where people have somebody that they feel comfortable going to, whether that's the recruiter that's hired them, the direct line manager, the HR manager, whether it's an anonymous employee engagement survey that you send out to give people the opportunity to give their feedback, so that you can get an understanding of what you're doing really well as a business and where you've got room for improvement. Gather the data and then actually do something with it. Because it's one thing sending out a survey to look like, oh, look, we're doing this amazing thing. We want to hear from you. We want to help make your work experience even better than it already is. But then they gather the data and nothing happens. So take the data, get the feedback, and then work out with your leadership team what you can do and what you can implement to enhance the working environment. So I think having that safe space and valuing what your employees actually have to say and then using that to catalyst change in the business is the most important thing. And I think surface level, it's very easy to look like you're doing something for your employees, but culture goes way beyond ordering pizzas on a Friday. You know, oh. You see these posts and Pizza Friday. That's a nice to do,
gesture.
But it's not implementing strategic change to make the whole Monday to Friday and every other day a great place to work. It's about, you know, and I think it's one thing that White & Co do really well, because it stems from that very first day, how people feel when they walk into the office on their first day, how they're welcomed to the company, how they're treated by the people around them. If people say hello and smile at them when they first see them in the office, even though they're new and they're not a familiar face, people still going out of their way to make them feel welcome. That's part of the culture. The training element, making sure that you're giving people the tools, the resources, the training to be able to do the job to the best of their ability. That's part of the culture. Celebrating with your employees whenever they do something amazing. So at White & Co, one thing that we're known for is we have leaderboards around the office, and every time somebody does a deal, it goes up on the board. And whether it's 5K commission or 500K commission, you've got 250 agents clapping, cheering with you, celebrating those successes with you, which makes you feel valued. It makes you feel important. It makes you feel appreciated in what you do, and it spurs you on to then want to do more. And then you benefit from that because you're working harder and the rewards are getting greater. And then as well, just taking time out, making sure you're having regular one-to-ones, make sure you're checking in with people, making sure you've got enough support in your management team. You know, it's no good having one manager overseeing 100 people and they're trying to give everyone 5 minutes of their time as and when they can. You know, making sure that you've got the right people in the right places so that the agents have got support, they have got somebody to go and speak to, and that your employees have access to the support network that they're going to need. It all plays such a big part in the overall culture and environment, and that then leads into things like your retention rate and your success rate, and they again all feed into the culture and the environment. So I think the best advice that I could give anyone is listen to your people and actually take on board the feedback that they give you.
So listening to this inspiring words and something that really moved me, right? But I want to pick a couple of words that you said, because some people use them just as terms. I want to know how Julie put these things to action. Creating safe space, listening to your people. How would you do that?
So I think for me, as an individual in the business, it comes from the relationships that I build with people from the get-go. You have to have that boundary of, yes, I'm part of the leadership team, but you also have to have that approach that the agents feel comfortable around me. They don't shy away from coming into my office and speaking to me, because there's the human element of it. And that's something that I try to be as personable as possible, you know, to give people the perception of that, yes, of course, I do represent the business and I'm part of the management team, but I have got their best interests at heart at the end of the day. And the feedback that they give me, they know I will tell them straight away exactly what I'm going to do with that feedback. So if they come to me and they say, I've had a great idea, this is what I think is going to happen, like, what do you think about it? I'll be like, okay, let me share it. Let me share it in our next leadership meeting, where the whole leadership team sit down together and we talk about what's going really well, where we could potentially improve, any feedback that we've had from any departments, and just giving them the opportunity to come in and speak to somebody that they've got a good relationship with, that they know has got their best interests at heart and is going to actually do something about it. And I'll always go back to them and say, I brought that up and this is what you can expect to see from it in return. So it's just that follow-up process, basically. They've got that trust that they know if they come and speak to me with this great idea, that I'm going to actually do something with it. On the flip side of that is that confidentiality side of things as well. So if somebody comes and speaks to me and it's about something that is, you know, personal or something that they're struggling with that they don't necessarily need me to do anything about, they just need me to be an ear, then I can be that ear because I've got that relationship and I've got that trust with them. And when it comes to listening to people, it is a case of, you know, sometimes people just need to get things off their chest. And they're not here with their families and their friends. And especially if they're quite new to Dubai, they might not have made that social circle yet. And I might be the closest person that they have at this moment in time. So again, having that relationship with them, that they know they can come and speak to me, and they know that if it is just getting something off their chest and it just needs to be confidential, then it stays with me. Or if they've got a great idea, or there's something that they believe that we could change or do better, that I'm actually going to take that information and do something with it.
You're so passionate and so honest, up to I feel that you are my safe space right now.
Good, I'm glad.
Beautiful. Give us three tips. How can we become a better HR leaders or recruiters or even people and culture managers? How can we be better every single day?
So from a recruitment perspective, actually take pride in what you do. Focus less on the numbers. I think a lot of recruiters are very heavily targeted in Dubai by their companies. Focus more on the opportunity that you're giving people as opposed to putting bums on seats. Focus on the quality, focus on the information that you're giving to people, making sure that people are coming into this with realistic expectations, because those people will then stay with you. Your retention will be higher, your team morale will be higher, you'll see better results, and you'll enjoy what you're doing a lot more as well. For HR leaders, I think just keep finding the balance between having the best interests of the company and the best interests of the people at heart, and take time to get to know the people that are in the business as well. You know, make sure you're going around, you're introducing yourself to anybody that's new in the business, and that you're a prominent figure in the business. You know, you're not just hiding away somewhere and no one knows who you are, which I think is the way HR used to be, and I definitely think we're moving away from that. And then people and culture. I think it's just a new kind of fancy title for a HR manager, but I think, again, get to know your people, get as much feedback from people as you possibly can. So, you know, at the end of your training sessions, ask them to give feedback. How was the training? Was there anything that was missed? Was there anything that could be done better? What did you think were your greatest takeaways from the training? And then again, once they've been there for a few months, check in. Like, how have your first few months been? Has it met your expectations? Is it what you were led to believe it was going to be from the interview process? And then all working together to streamline that whole process. Because the first 6 months in any new job is so daunting. Walking into a new workplace on the first day is so nerve-wracking. Make it as easy as possible. Make people feel comfortable. Make people feel welcome, continue to get to know them once they are on board and spend time with them, and give them the opportunity to give feedback, because it will only help your business get bigger and better.
I think it's safe to say that a lot of people, after listening to this podcast, could write books from everything you have said right now. Jodi, I was so excited, thrilled, and happy to meet you. And now I'm so sad because this time is coming to an end, but yeah. I hope that it will be one of many, many, many other opportunities to come to sit with you and talk to you. And to be honest, it was quite an honor and inspiring to get to know the human behind the beautiful Jodi Thompson.
Thank you so much. And thank you so much for having me in this incredible production. I find it absolutely, like, when Shireen reached out to me, I was like, you really want me to come onto this amazing podcast? Really? So I really appreciate everyone's time today and for welcoming me to your podcast.
Thank you so much. And I will take the chance to thank our incredible team behind the scenes, because they make the miracles happen. Thank you, everyone, for another Well Talk. I hope you're not feeling annoyed by me, and the lovely Faris is coming next month.